Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So the big thing that we've all been waiting for as wrestling fans on the internet for the past, like, 2 months, we've been waiting for this day.
And
it
that is
looks
a...
like, it looks like Paige has deleted all of her photos with Alberto Del Rio on her Instagram.
Dang it, I was going to go a different way with that.
What was your dumb joke?
I was going to be like...
No, we'll back up. All right, here we go. Same setup. Ready?
Okay.
All right, we've been waiting for this day for several months. We've been counting it down, and what is the big deal?
The second anti-doping violation by Brock Lesnar.
I like mine better.
Sure. No, I do too, because I didn't know that this was going to be a joke that you were going to do, so I kind of had to come up with something else that wasn't the draft on the fly, and for some reason I didn't talk about, like, just a random thing that happened on NXT, even though I was like, it was just last night, and I was... I don't know. I was in a weird space last night. I don't know. I don't remember much. How are you, Joel? My brain, it just went, like, it just did a hard reset, like, right before we did the podcast. So I think I'm forming complete sentences right now.
The big thing is obviously the draft.
Sure.
We have a lot of draft things to talk about.
Right.
I guess we'll start with a little tiny bit of Raw with Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan being officially announced as the GMs.
Sure. You know, the Daniel Bryan thing was leaked, so that wasn't really a surprise. Mick Foley was.
Mick Foley was a surprise?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like going into it, we assumed that the Daniel Bryan was going to negate a possibility of Mick Foley, because there was going to be a heel and
right.
face kind of thing. Heel team, face team.
And yeah.
We are definitely getting two...
faces and one having to deal with a heel Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they spun it to where it made logical sense.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't really have a problem with the setup.
Sure. I have a feeling that probably won't last as long as, you know, Daniel Bryan and Shane will on SmackDown, but we'll see, you know. So I forgot what we said on exactly how long these GM things will last, but I feel like I feel like Daniel Bryan is probably going to last longer than Mick.
Yeah, I mean, we were somewhere in the give or take 6 months.
Sure, and I still think that's the case. But I will see how long the whole Stephanie and Mick Foley thing will last.
I mean, it'll last until they can each get an avatar to wrestle for supreme control of Raw.
Sure.
At Survivor Series?
Sure.
Maybe the Rumble?
Mm-hmm. So as far as the draft goes, because I don't think there's anything else on Raw that's really,
really
worth talking about, because it was all just kind of like, all right, or this is a kind of a twiddle your thumbs episode to get to, oh, there's a championship match that we're going to have a rematch of the next night.
Yeah.
And we're awkwardly not going to tell you that the aftermath of the match is going to happen on the network.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, like, I didn't know to tune into that.
I mean, clearly, like, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, they did the whole, like, both, you know, both sets of shoulders are on the mat thing, clearly. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, Seth Rollins won, or Stephanie declared Seth Rollins to win, and I'm like, okay, where are they going to step in and do the whole, like, nope, draw thing?
Yeah.
And it never happened.
That never happened, and the next night on SmackDown, there was no, like, these guys just had a fight with a contingent finish. You know, so now we got to really settle.
Right.
They acted like, you know, that one never happened. They
sure.
never mentioned that
because
these guys had just had a match.
Because draft.
Earlier. Because draft.
Yeah.
So.
But as far as the draft itself, I guess right out the gate, what was your, like, biggest surprise out of all that? Or was there a big surprise?
I guess one of my biggest surprises was there wasn't really a big surprise. There were all these rumors about, like, They're courting older guys,
right.
maybe some, like, Kurt Angle, John Morrison, Shelton Benjamin kind of names.
Sure.
None of that happened at all.
Right. And from what I understand, like, those people are, or not those specific people, but returning wrestlers are still happening, but just later.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is a whole, like, kind of free agent kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's probably how they're going to spin it.
So.
For me, the biggest... I got two biggest surprises. I was surprised Roman Reigns fell out of the top five, which, you know, given the circumstance, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I was surprised that Cena was...
Cena was a second-round draft pick.
Second round out of the top five, which makes sense at his stage of the career, but I'm still just surprised that they actually went through with it, you know?
It's weird to say, like, everything, but like, yeah, I get that. I see where they're going, but it's a weird thing to acknowledge. Cena was a second-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Roman was a second-round draft pick as well.
Right.
Because I think he was number 6.
Yeah. Also, surprise, Alexa Bliss got drafted. I love Alexa Bliss, but I was not expecting to hear her or Carmella.
I gotta say, there's a couple of things that, like, just don't work as far as kayfabe, and one of them is Bayley not getting drafted.
Yes.
I almost wish, and there's a lot of rumors that she'll be Sasha Banks' surprise partner
right
on Battleground on Sunday, but that doesn't really solve, like,
the draft thing.
Yeah, if
she it's is, like, it's like they didn't want to ruin their own surprise by including her into, like, this other thing that they made, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, and it might be,
that could have been a, oh, surprise kind of thing.
Sure.
There's no, okay.
So, and this could just be a situation of just bad timing. You know what I mean? Like, they probably had the Battleground thing already set, like, before they did the draft.
I feel like if they had said, these are the 6 people from NXT that are eligible for the draft, mm-hmm. and they could go to either show, and that's the, you know, tune in to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, okay, that's fine. But the fact that it's like, the whole NXT roster is theoretically up for it.
Right.
And, you know, and you can only pick 6 of them. And so then there's like the, oh, does each show get 3? Could Raw, like, their first 6 picks be NXT picks?
Sure.
And, like, they could go ahead and snatch all those up. So that wasn't totally clear.
If they just leave it open like that, which they did, why would you not be like, oh, well, there's Nakamura, there's Samoa Joe. Like, sure, Finn Balor, like, I feel like is a legit, like, top 10 pick, is, but then you got these other guys.
He used one of the slots for Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so it means that, you know, because there's not, like, oh, these people aren't eligible for these reasons, you're like, okay, so Mojo Rawley got drafted over Austin Aries, Samoa Joe,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these guys.
Right.
And Bayley.
Yes.
You know, who is... And I get, you know, I get not wanting to take her out yet.
Mm-hmm.
I get you want to save her for Battleground if that's the way to go. I get that you need that, you know, star, you know, top of the division kind of thing in NXT still.
Sure.
And if Bayley's happy being there, if Bayley feels like she's still got a lot to learn, you know, whatever the case may be, I get that, but it's starting to stick out, and this draft made it stick out real bad. Like, oh, you can't even try and get some kayfabe reasonings in there.
Right.
Stuff why that happened. And that's the thing. This could have happened, like, William Regal could have tweeted this.
Sure.
And the internet would have made sure I found it. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This is the way the internet works. Like, we complain about, like, I have, you know, now with SmackDown, I have 5 hours of wrestling to watch every week just for WWE, not including Cruiserweight, not including NXT, not including any TNA, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground I want to watch. And that's only if it's not a pay-per-view weekend. And if it is, which now they're going to be twice as many of, you know, there's tons and tons of wrestling to watch. But the internet also will make sure, like, if there is, like, a, here's some information that was tweeted out by this guy, or is just on their website, or aired on the network at 2 a.m. on a Wednesday. Like, here it is. Let me just put it out for you and break it down.
Like, these are the, like, saved superstars that, you know, William Regal just couldn't let go right now.
And that's the thing is, like, with, there was the draft discussion, the, you know, roundtable was going on for like 4 hours on the network.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch all 4 hours of it, but the internet was like, you know, here are the interviews that, like, oh, something happened. It's worth noting. You know, here you go.
Sure.
Bada boom. They're all right there.
I do want to note that Summer Rae was picked before Apollo Crews. There was 2 more rounds left when they picked Summer Rae. I just want everyone to know that.
Yeah, there's a lot
she
of,
was
like,
picked in round 9.
I do think it's a good thing. One of the, you, like, really positive things that Charlotte was the 3rd pick overall that your women's championship was the third pick, right after your main championship.
Sure.
So I feel like that is some level an acknowledgement of the prestige of the title.
Yeah.
But I also want to point out that Raw has what we're assuming is a cruiserweight title that's happening. Raw has the women's title. Raw has the United States title. Raw has the tag team titles.
Yeah.
Assuming that either Seth or Roman wins at Battleground on Sunday,
they're
going
to have the WWE Championship.
They're going to have five titles versus SmackDown, which will literally just have the Intercontinental.
Yeah.
It's been, less than a week, and like, oh, I wonder which is the favorite.
So where did, didn't Zack Ryder get drafted to SmackDown?
Zack Ryder got drafted to SmackDown. Zack Ryder could win it.
He could bring another mid-card belt.
And they could have the IC and the US.
That's not what I'm going to pick, but that it could theoretically happen.
Yes, but if we're playing theoretics, Darren Young was drafted to Raw, and he could take the Intercontinental title over to Raw.
I feel like that's more likely to happen than Zack Ryder beating Rusev. Unless they really want to go with the whole underdog thing. On one hand, I did like Shane's reaction to Raw drafting Enzo and Cass, like just tearing up the notes, just crap, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But from a logistics standpoint, like, you can't be that angry when you just drafted literally Baron Corbin. Yeah. You had your chance.
Yeah.
That's literally who he just picked. And I'm just like, come on, just no.
The Baron Corbin draft felt really high. That felt really
19th overall, yeah.
Like that was, so that's a third round draft pick, right?
Yes.
Maybe a fourth round draft pick. But
seeing as how Cesaro got picked at 28.
Yeah.
Speaking of, he's so not happy about that. He seemingly was unhappy about just about everything that happened on Tuesday night, but mainly the fact that he was picked so low. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of, confirmed since then that he full on had a shoot on the WWE Network.
Yeah. And it's one that they seem to be going with, you know.
Oh, yeah, like WWE put it on their YouTube channel.
So, they're happy with it or don't care.
Sure. There did seem like a general, like, uneasiness about a lot of these interviews. And a lot of people just felt, like, out of place or just on edge.
I mean, we have heard in the past, when they were doing drafts mm-hmm. initially, that the wrestlers did not know.
Right, and that seems to be the case again.
Especially unless you were like John Cena.
Yeah.
You did not know if you were getting drafted.
In what show.
On what show you might be going
to. From what I understand, it was said that basically the top guys knew, and then everybody else did not.
Right.
And
that messes with your schedule.
Sure.
And that, you know.
Especially on seemingly like a whim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, it probably doesn't mess up your schedule too much because a lot of them were, most everybody was doing both or traveling to both, unless they were told that they weren't needed.
But I mean, if you're, trying to make your marriage work and, you have a kid that's getting ready to start school.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And you're away from it 300 days a year, it doesn't take much to be like, oh, hey. Remember that thing you did all Monday nights?
Yeah.
You're doing that Tuesday nights now.
And if, you're in a relationship with another wrestler and they get drafted to a different show.
Yeah.
Like Del Rio and Paige, who, like Joel said, deleted all of her photos with said relationship companion.
Yeah.
Which is awkward considering, like, they didn't get, like, name tattoos of each other, but they got, like, clearly, they're, like, the reason why they got these tattoos. I think hers says, like, Poppy. It's a really tiny tattoo, from what I understand. And then he's got one. I don't know what in the world it is. I can't really see it that well. And of then neither seemed completely all that happy with the draft, especially, well, Del Rio was the one that got interviewed. I don't even think they bothered to interview Paige.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I'm not saying like WWE has to cater to all this, especially since like it seems like they just, at least we found out about them dating like pretty recently, mm-hmm. and I don't feel like it's been going on for too long, so I don't feel like WWE is necessarily like obligated to.
I'm gonna do this. You make it work. Or you don't. I don't really care.
Sure.
Don't be late for work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not necessarily WWE's top responsibility.
Yeah.
But
I suspect Nikki will be on SmackDown.
There's a good chance of that. And that's fine, you know, because honestly, the top of the women's division doesn't necessarily need her.
Yeah.
You know? And it's one of those things where I, you know, especially with her health condition, luckily, it seems like she's gotten the news that she'll be able to return, which, mm-hmm. you know, good for her. But it seemed like one of those instances where, you know, they're like, well, if you don't have to risk it, then don't. And I'm like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You know? You had a long career, longer than a lot of us would have cared for. And, you know, you barely got out, you know, intact. So, kind of leave well enough alone.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what she wants to do. That's what she wants to do. And apparently she's, you know, clear to go. So she's going to go. Another, the biggest head scratcher for me was Raw and the Cruiserweight thing.
Right.
I think because someone kind of pieced it all together with who they drafted. If they were to keep the rules that have been set up with the Cruiserweight Classic, they would have a Cruiserweight division made up of four people. Now, if they expand to their old rules, because I believe it was 225,
mm-hmm.
I could be off on that, but if their old rules, they would have a division of nine people, which is better, but not great. I mean, I guess you can have a division of nine people. They had a Divas division of, like, nine women for, like, years.
Yeah.
And especially if it's on one show, it's a three-hour show, but you can't have all nine people on every single show.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a little bit better, and maybe that's the route they're going to go, but it's odd that they would have different rules than the Cruiserweight Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this whole free agent thing could happen, like we were talking about, with them bringing in other guys, and they could raid some guys from the Cruiserweight thing, and because a lot of them are good enough to just go straight to the main roster.
Right.
Well, and Ibushi being one of them.
You know, to be honest, looking at the next year, assuming that the next draft happens next July, there will be people joining, you know, WWE between now and then.
Sure.
So, are they free agents? Is there, like, a courting thing? Do they just show up on Raw or SmackDown, mm-hmm. you know, wherever they decide they're going to be?
Right.
I don't know, but it's something to look into.
Sure.
Biggest head-scratcher for me, I think, was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens going to the same show.
Yeah, that's another one I was going to bring up. That, especially since they like made such a point to really drill it in that like this could be the last time they're going to fight, mm-hmm. and now it's pretty much guaranteed that it won't be.
Yeah.
I have like a fear that this is going to go continue on for a very long time, and eventually a rivalry that we cared very much about is going to go the way of John Cena and Randy Orton.
Never underestimate the WWE's ability to take something you love and make you hate it.
Oh, sure.
It is. They're great.
Not even, like, they could do it, like, almost just unbeknownst to them, just, you know, just kind of fall into it and mm-hmm. not purposely make us hate something.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming is what they do most of the time. Like, they think they're doing good and they want us to like it. And then
there have been some things where, like, honestly, with the New Day, run it into the ground.
Just sure.
Like that, that is my recommendation.
See what they can get away with, yeah.
You should not have made it this long. Every second that the New Day is successful past this is an unexpected bonus that you don't deserve.
Sure.
So
they run just
it
announced
into the ground until it's stupid and dumb and I can't stand it. And, you know, like, there's not a, like, the legacy of the New Day to protect.
Sure. So, I mean, today at Comic-Con, they just announced that Bootios are going to be an actual thing.
Yeah.
Like, real, actual cereal that you can buy through FYE, weirdly enough. It's like, when I think of you know, edible food that I can eat, which also means edible. I don't really think of a place that sells Blu-rays and CDs.
Wildly overpriced Blu-rays and CDs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So if you would like a $9 box of cereal, they got you covered.
Oh, man, that might be a deal. No, I think it was. I think it's closer to like 13, to be honest with you.
Is it really?
Yeah, I only glanced that because you can like you could pre-order cereal. You could pre-order cereal on their website, you guys. I'm not joking.
Have they said what it actually is?
No.
Like it's
they might have, and I just didn't dig deep and far enough. It's
Cheerio Apollo, like it's some sort of cereal, and so
about butts. About butts, you guys. They're making a cereal about butts.
I also want to point out in kayfabe how much Heath Slater must be hated, specifically by Raw. And I get like, oh, it's a joke at the end, like ha-ha.
Sure.
But so,
and I'm pretty sure they, you know, it wasn't an accident.
No.
And I would be interested to know if he was aware of this going into it. Like, hey, we're gonna like. Because this is their chance to do something with Heath Slater,
mm-hmm.
You know, as and you know, he's one of those guys where he's
technically the hottest free agent in the company right now.
Right.
I mean, I guess Undertaker might still be. I don't know what the deal with the Undertaker
and like all the superstars that are injured right now.
Right.
Of which I can't think of any right now, but there are some.
But let me just point out that they said that tag teams could be drafted together. And with the New Day, they set a precedent that there can be a three-person tag team.
Yes.
So, Raw drafted both Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel separately. So, they used two draft picks.
Yes.
To ensure that they didn't get Heath Slater.
Yes.
When they could have drafted the All of Social Outcast as one.
But then they would have an extra pick. And, like, who are you going to pick when everyone's gone? Emma, she's on the shelf, but sure.
I mean, that was the other thing. Like, yeah, I get it, and it's for the joke, and I get the setup.
Sure.
But in kayfabe, like, really?
Yeah.
You're using up.
You couldn't have splurged on that one left, that one guy. Although, interesting enough, there is word going out with what people consider, you know, decent sources that WWE has reached out to Jinder Mahal.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know, because, like, Drew Galloway is doing pretty good with, you know, his stuff in the UK and TNA specifically. But a possible 2 out of 3 reunion of three-man band?
Like, yeah, I don't think it would be worth for him to come back to do 3MB.
And honestly, like, because you look at some of the draft picks and you're like, oh, okay, so now they can do nothing on that show now. Like, Alicia Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think she's going to get camera time now? Like, yeah, even on a separate roster, like, she's not going to get put on the camera. Like, same with Summer Rae.
That's the thing. Becky Lynch will need somebody to face for the segment where Natalya's on commentary talking about her, but will interrupt the match. Like, they need that.
Did you do that on purpose? Because that's literally what happened.
Oh, really?
Becky Lynch was supposed to... No, Natalya was supposed to fight Alicia Fox, and that's when Becky came in. They didn't even start the match.
That's my point. Exactly. Yeah. Like you have to have
like, that. That's the reason why I pointed this out, because that happened, yeah.
You have to have that cannon fodder person.
There you go.
So
she's the person that doesn't have a match, but is told that we're going to have that match.
Yeah.
So she's not so unlike Kane this week. And I believe they were just calling him Kane now, not the Demon Kane. I wonder if that was, like, a conscious thing now that Finn Balor's on the main roster.
It's probably a thing because he became Demon Kane to separate him from Corporate Kane.
Sure.
And I think Corporate Kane is more or less done, so now he's just Kane.
And even Kane might be pretty close to being done because, I mean, he's barely on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because he's usually 9 times out of 10 pretty consistently on the show in one form or another. Even either that or he's just completely not on there and setting up for something down the line.
I think he's there. They're going to keep him around as long as they can, and a little bit longer than they would for other people, because they need that, oh dear me, we need a credible bad guy right now. What about the demon monster bad guy?
Sure. For the same reason why they're keeping Big, or similar reason why they're keeping Big Show and Mark Henry. It's like, we need a really big guy.
Yeah, and I think, like, a different guy probably would have gone ahead and been like, it's time for you to retire, buddy. But if, you know, Kane's just going to sit backstage and collect his paycheck for not doing anything, sure, why not go ahead and be there about 5 years longer than you intended to, if you're getting paid for it and you have to show up once every other month on the
show. Sure. So yeah, a lot of head scratchers. It seemed like there was a lot of tension, like unspoken tension. Well, I guess it was spoken in a way, because we heard about Sin Cara and Simon Gotch from the Vaudevillains get into a fight in catering.
Yeah.
And apparently, Sin Cara, according to, if we're to believe the dirt sheets, apparently Sin Cara is 4-0 in behind-the-scenes fights. So, good for him, I guess.
Alright.
Just, why pick a fight with that guy now?
Can you justify picking Brock Lesnar in your draft?
Well, yes, because, you know, if this was, like, towards the end of the draft, and you were down to Summer Rae and Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah, obviously then.
When you've got a long draft, yes.
But Brock was Brock a first-round draft pick?
Second round. Because first five is Seth, Dean,
Charlotte,
AJ, Finn.
Okay, yeah, so he was a second-round draft pick.
Right. I wouldn't... He obviously wouldn't be probably in my top three rounds. But then when you get, like, even, like, you know, higher up when you're, you know, faced with the decision, you know, Brock or Baron Corbin, I'm still going to go with Brock.
Yeah, obviously at that point.
Yeah. But as far as, like, a top 10, probably not. Not with everything that's going on. It doesn't look like WWE is going to suspend him or anything.
No. Well, what, they suspend him for 30 days and, like, he wasn't going to be...
Yeah, he's going to be gone anyway, so there's no real point in it, yeah. I mean, they could have canceled his SummerSlam appearance, but I don't see that happening with WWE. Basically, for those that don't know, Brock Lesnar was flagged on another anti-doping violation. This test, the test sample came from the day of the fight. Mm-hmm. So, all in all, that's pretty damning.
Does he still have an appeal option at this point?
I believe he does, but at this point, it's like, why bother?
Yeah, I mean...
I don't like his chances.
No.
If it's one test out of, like, a... Because, you know, he got tested a lot by the USDA.
Yeah.
And if it was just one test that he got flagged for in a sea of all the others, yeah, appeal the mess out of that. When he's got more than one, you're like, okay, One is happenstance. Two is a habit.
Yeah, we'll see what.
Especially, happens, like, but... I said, especially the day of.
Yeah, but I'm not holding my breath for this one.
No, not at all. And I feel like now it's pretty safe to say that Brock is probably done with UFC.
Yeah,
whether he wants to be or not. Yeah. Because and as far as, like, the first test, whatever substance that John Jones was whatever he got pulled from the fight from, apparently it's the same thing, the same substance.
So, UFC 200 can't stop being a cluster even when it's over.
Right, like, it's been 2 weeks now. And, yeah, they're still having just backfire from that.
Anything else on the draft that you really want to touch on, comment on? Did you feel that some of this draft was really focused on continuing current feuds without really looking at an eye towards the future?
kind of, like, especially with, like we talked about with Sammy and mm-hmm. Kevin Owens.
Cena and AJ, it felt like we got to make sure they're on the same show.
Yeah.
So make it to SummerSlam together. But then it's like, well, then what did they
do? Well, but then again, if that was the case, they probably would have had, they would have had the club on SmackDown too.
Well, I mean, no, I figure that.
Or at least that's how John Cena finally gets, you know, gets his, because well, he, now AJ doesn't have the club to run to.
I figure
like that whole story.
The SummerSlam match is always going to be the final one-on-one showdown in a cage I quit match, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
The determined end-all be-all super.
Yeah, I can see that. Is there any other instance you had in your mind?
Those are some of the big ones. And then there's some smaller stuff. With like, Charlotte and Sasha being drafted to the same show.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, that's definitely your next title match.
Sure. And again, like they could have just addressed it and be like, "Hey, the champion can go to both shows," mm-hmm. and then they would have been fine. And I also would have been fine if they put that off until like a WrestleMania, because it is a WrestleMania, like them one on one. I'm glad they're not burning it on Battleground like they are with the Shield Triple Threat. But I wish they would really hold on to it for WrestleMania.
Yeah,
because right now, if I had to say which one what would be like a potential main event for Mania down the road, mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I feel like, you know, Bayley and Sasha Banks could also do that, but as far as like who's in charge of WWE right now and what they're most likely to go for, that would be it.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and the fact that they're probably going to do it at SummerSlam feels, I mean, again, not as cheap as it would have been at Battleground, but it feels still kind of less than. So, yeah. So I feel like that was kind of short-sighted to put them on the same show. I would have liked, you know, both of them to have. But then again, I feel like this is really great for Becky Lynch, because Becky Lynch basically gets to be the face of the women's division on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really see anyone coming close to being in contention with her.
I agree with you. I'm worried that. And the same thing with the women's division and the tag team division. I'm worried about how thinly it feels like they're spread. I do not need to see the Usos, you know, every single week.
Right. The whole 2-3 ratio really kind of felt like it was lopsided.
It did. And I get the, like, 2 to 3 hours.
Sure.
Thought process.
I feel like it's safe to say that a lot of these free agents are probably going to go to SmackDown to help figure that. And then it might have been something that they had to kind of like predetermine going into this kind of thing. And the whole 2-3 thing is probably just a good, like, convenient thing to do to address that right off the bat.
I don't think we'll really start to get a good feel of it until a month down the road, 2 months down the road. Honestly, after SummerSlam.
Yeah, because then we'll go into their first individual pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. When they can really start building those stories.
Yeah. I have to look at the schedule, because it would be kind of weird that they would have, like, SummerSlam, big, you know, joint main event, and then, like, 2 weeks later, a pay-per-view.
September 11th, they have something, Paybacks.
Okay, and do you know what the day of SummerSlam?
SummerSlam is something in August. I mean,
well, yeah.
Something towards the end of August, I think.
I think
the 21st, but I won't.
So they might have 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks would be probably better, but I have a feeling that first one to bite that bullet would probably be SmackDown and Raw. Probably be given more time, because they got a bigger roster, you guys.
So, we'll see.
And also, interesting note that it wasn't included in the draft, thank God, but they did shake up the commentary teams.
Yeah.
Which I felt like was interesting. You got Cole and Byron on Raw, along with Corey Graves, moving up from NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then on SmackDown, you've got JBL, Mauro Ranallo, and David Otunga.
Yeah, I saw that. Was interesting. Big question. Didn't Eva Marie go to SmackDown?
She did.
And Corey Graves
I know.
Was on Raw?
I know. my shut up Tom joke is going to just go by the wayside.
Like, what else do you have Marie for?
Right, like that's the most over she ever got with me was the whole shut up Tom thing. I thought it was hilarious, and she's quite gorgeous, but mostly that.
So, all right,
yeah.
I guess. Do you want to do predictions? Since we do have a pay per view.
Oh crap! You're right. I didn't even. Oh man. Let me pull up the card.
Good job, Chris. Way to be professional.
It's 12:24 in the morning, so calm down.
And whose fault is that?
My employer's? Certainly isn't mine. I'm not doing this by choice.
Definitely not mine. The important thing is it's not mine. I was ready to go at 6:30 this evening.
Well, good for you. Hey, you're ready to go at 6 this morning, or 6 this afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay, give me a full rundown of the Cruiserweight Classic, Joel. The second episode. Go for it.
No, I couldn't, because I was watching the draft to be ready for this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, that was 6. That was 6 hours ago.
Okay, so there's 2 hours of SmackDown plus 4 hours of... on the network, which is 6 hours.
You didn't watch the whole thing on the network, did you?
Well, I also had to watch Raw.
Okay.
Again, I don't know how I'm going to do 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown.
I'm just like, because like they were doing like the second screen thing like the entire time that SmackDown was on.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that is just them like just kind of like filling time while they waited till the next crowd of drafts came in. So you didn't watch that whole 3-hour thing on the network from Tuesday, right?
No, I skimmed.
Okay, good. I was going to say, Joel, wow.
You want to go back and forth on dedication now? Where I was like, second screen is only screen.
No. No. It's like, no, second screen, no. I watched each one individually. Then I would be like, Joel, you have a problem.
I recorded my own play-by-play commentary.
It is available on iTunes for $3 because you want to pay for that.
It's not actually available on iTunes.
No,
please don't look it up.
I mean, you could. You won't come up
with
anything.
You'll get zero results, or you'll get something that's not me.
And they always have things on 99, so there's nothing exactly $3. So
there you go. On.
I know what I'm doing. Sometimes. Nothing has been listed as the kickoff show. They might do the Chris Jericho Randy Orton thing on that.
Yeah.
They should. I should say. They probably won't because they want the whole Randy Orton thing to feel like a big deal. So they'll probably put it on the main show.
Yeah.
I guess. If I want to guess which one gets pushed to the kickoff show, is probably Becky and Natalya. So we'll go ahead and talk about that first.
Becky and Natalya are still fighting. Nice to know. Glad somebody reminded me that was happening.
I guess that happened on SmackDowns.
Aside
from like their one run-in on this week's Raw.
Yeah.
I think it was Raw.
I'm going to go Becky.
Yeah.
I like Becky.
And she's a new female face of SmackDown. Yeah, so yeah, Becky.
Needs the win under her belt. So,
so we'll keep it with the ladies. The tag team match with Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus Sasha and TBD.
Sasha and TBD.
Yeah.
If it's not for the title, Sasha wins.
Yeah.
I feel like right now.
Yeah.
So.
I can agree with that. And then that'll give her claim to the championship.
For SummerSlam.
Yeah. And then whoever her opponent is, probably Bayley. Hopefully Bayley. It should be Bayley. We'll probably
her
go up
tag team partner?
Yeah.
Okay.
She will probably have a match against Dana Brooke.
That's fair enough.
Or something. I also don't want Bayley to be like, thrown in there just to be like a partner.
Or they'll also be enforcers outside the ring. Because,
ugh.
You know.
Oh,
you
know God. That tastes horrible.
Also, Ric Flair will probably return to interfere and she'll forget her dad.
Woo. We got the 6-man tag match, New Day and the Wyatts. No championship on the line at all, so means the Wyatts might win.
I guess, like,
and this will also be like the final match of the Wyatts.
The Wyatt family.
Yeah,
that was the one thing that like as when they were doing no championship, I was like, well, clearly it's Wyatts wins. But it's weird that you would have the team you're about to dissolve beat your sure. tag team champions.
Yeah.
I think this might go to New Day.
Yeah, I feel the same.
I think I'm going to put myself down for New Day.
New Day is going to probably move on to something else. Well, likely something else because
New Day will have successfully vanquished the Wyatt.
Yeah.
To the point where they split up.
Sure, because the two lesser Wyatts are the ones left on the same show with New Day.
Right.
And they're not a formidable team without Bray.
Right.
So. And who knows where Luke Harper is going to be going. Because I think he should be coming back here soon.
Hottest free agent in the company. Yeah.
He's the second guy you've said that about.
I'm passing that out like candy here.
Nikki Bella?
Well, no, she's going to SmackDown. Let's not go crazy.
Okay. Emma?
Emma can be the hottest free agent in the company.
Hottest how? Never mind, don't answer that. moving on to the Intercontinental Championship, Miz versus Darren Young.
Miz?
You don't feel like Darren Young has a chance in this?
No, I think they if there's not been any rumblings for a while now about them making a new top belt for SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
I think they want the Intercontinental to be the top belt. Daniel Bryan said in the draft, I don't want to draft Miz, but we need the Intercontinental
championship.
He specifically said we need the Intercontinental Championship on SmackDown.
Sure.
He has talked about wanting to do that. I don't know how much genuine control he has over the show.
Sure.
But any he does, I think, will be put into that belt, elevating that title to a higher level.
How frustrating would it be if Raw had every title? From a fan perspective.
That's just like a slap in the face, man.
Right?
Like, that's just like a... We're not even...
Having all but one is still kind of, like, crappy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, all right, well, you know, I guess they got one. But if they had all of them, that would just be come on.
It was like, I want 6 months where we all pretend that they're the same.
Sure.
You know?
And they've already fallen behind on that.
Yeah. And it's like, we didn't even get out of the first SmackDown episode. Right. We're like, oh... Raw gets everything, all right?
Yeah, so you're going to say Miz?
I'm going to go Miz.
You might have convinced me to say Miz. Like, for a little bit, I was going to go off on a limb, be like, Darren Young, but you brought up a really good point. And for the fact that I don't see Zack Ryder winning later on.
I see Zack Ryder over Darren Young because of the title placements.
I don't know if they're going to put 12... They could put two mid-card belts on SmackDown, seeing how they're going to have the Cruiserweight thing.
Well, if they're trying to...
But the Cruiserweight, they might wait on the Cruiserweight thing until after the Classic's over.
I think they want the IC title to not be a mid-card, to be a top-tier card. I mean, obviously below the WWE Championship.
Sure.
We all know that.
But it would... I think that would be great. I would prefer that than just adding a new championship.
I would, too.
Yeah, I'll stick with Miz, then.
All right.
Miz... next up we have the 6-man tag with Cena, Enzo, and Cass, and the Club, versus the Club.
John Cena lost last time?
Yeah.
And so he'll win this time.
Absolutely.
We got a loss, win. It's the standard John Cena pattern.
Sure. So. I mean, I wasn't going to pick against Cena, Enzo, and Cass, the guys that, you know, Vince loves the most right now, so
yeah.
Go for it. Oh, excuse me, 2/3 of the guys Vince loves the most. He really loves Cass. I'm not sure how he feels about Enzo, but I'm pretty sure he'll take Cass or Enzo any day.
Yeah.
Did you hear the rumor that they originally wanted to just draft Jason Jordan and not Chad Gable?
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I was like, did you see him kind of flattering all those years in NXT without, even with other tag team partners? Like, he was with Ty Dillinger for a while, that didn't work.
No,
that,
there's some, like, weirdly successful magic
there, for yeah.
American Alphas.
Yeah, they need to stick together for a while.
Yeah.
If not for their whole WWE career.
Or their careers. They need to be the kind that gets put in the Hall of Fame as a tag team.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So you're saying they're guaranteed to be in the Hall of Fame? Calling that now?
No.
They're never going to do anything wrong to tarnish their name?
Yeah, I'm not confident in that.
They're going to be the next Hulk Hogan. Nothing wrong will ever happen. They will do no wrong.
Hulk Hogan's in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Like, they slid him back in there quietly after everything. I think.
Last time ever, but probably not, match between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I'm gonna always say Kevin Owens. Yeah, like, I want that underdog story of like Sami Zayn's final match.
Sami Zayn wins only at WrestleManias.
Yes, only wins at WrestleManias, and his last match will be his last match of his career will be him finally beating Kevin Owens, only to be smacked in the head by a chair by Owen Owens because it's that far in the future. I love that theory. I really do.
Well, he's already Sami Zayn has won. By now, he's won a couple of...
But not in the WWE.
No, he's won in the WWE.
Against
Kevin Owens. They had a singles match, like, on Raw that Sami Zayn won cleanly.
Was it clean or was it like a roll-up?
Roll-ups are clean. It wasn't like a dramatic thing.
Okay, yeah,
but it also wasn't like... Oh, the ref saw a nickel and missed.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Kevin Owens.
Possibly, and it might have just been like Raw, like I'm an autopilot on that. Mm-hmm. You very well could be right.
Well, they have a big streak of like building something up.
Sure.
Like, here's a streak. It's been going on. Oh, it ended in the middle of a main event.
Oh, sure, match. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But no, I'm still going to say Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I'm going KO.
Then we got the triple threat for the championship, Dean, Roman, and Seth.
All right, where do you land on this one?
Well, first of all, I feel like it's a given that it's going to go to one of the Raw guys.
You think it goes to Raw?
Yes. I feel like almost 100% definitely goes to Raw. As far as exactly who, honestly, I feel like... I really feel like the suspension may have knocked Roman Reigns down a couple pegs. Now, he was still a few pegs ahead of everyone else in the eyes of Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. So
he still got dragged. He was the very first draft of round two.
Sure.
And I do think it's safe to say the suspension knocked him from round
out of
round
out two. Of the top five. I think it might be a little too soon for WWE to put the belt back on Roman. I'm not saying that as my opinion. I feel like in their eyes they want to wait a month. I don't know. But right out the gate, like days after his suspension ended, I don't think they're going to put the championship on him. So I'm going to say Seth, and that feels like I'm going out on a limb. But it shouldn't be, you know? Mm-hmm. When you're sitting here like, okay, well, it's two guys from the flagship show, and then one guy from the other show, and one of them just got out of a substance suspension.
Yeah.
So it feels like, oh, clearly the one that doesn't have that violation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's Roman, you know? And I still feel like WWE's going to hold their guns and still, like, try to make Roman look strong as ever, and the crowd's going to hate him more than they ever had in their life.
Yeah.
Like, that whole Botchamania thing where Matthew put the Twitter responses to, like, the news of the substance violation.
Right.
And just had, like, the audio of the shame part from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Like, it might not be that far off from Battleground. You know, thank goodness he doesn't come from the crowd anymore.
Oh, yeah. Let me present a theory to you.
Sure.
Do you think there is any reasonable backing to the thought process that Raw's gotten so many of the titles because the main title will stay on SmackDown?
What do you mean, exactly?
That Dean will retain.
Oh, okay.
And so your biggest title is on SmackDown.
Try to give it a little bit more.
Which is why you have your women's title, your U.S. title, your tag team title, and your theoretical upcoming cruiserweight title all on Raw to mm-hmm. try and balance out that mega awesome title that's on SmackDown.
No, because I can't see WWE having Seth and Roman feud over the U.S. Championship with Rusev. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that becomes the top championship. So I really can't see them doing that, because then what do they do? You know? But then again, what does Dean do?
Yeah.
unless he instantly goes after Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
which, if he does that instantly, feels like a weird step down.
For him, it's like he would take a step down, but the Intercontinental Championship would take a step up, so they would kind of meet a little bit, but it still seems like kind of a reach.
I don't know if the Intercontinental Championship will take a step up until it's actually on him.
Sure, yeah, okay, you might be right. But it would kind of instantly give Dean something meaningful to do at SummerSlam, you know?
That's the.
But then again, they're probably gonna have a rematch because he would get a rematch. Yeah. So never mind. Yeah.
Dean has a rematch clause.
So why? How do they build that?
Also, SummerSlam is one of the four
where
cross-brand promotionals. So we immediately have that where it's like, well, that they could, you know, who knows where the title goes? Because I actually think it might be more likely that Dean will retain at Battleground, so they can be like, a whole month of the championship on SmackDown,
and then lose
we care
it.
About SmackDown, and then loses the title at SummerSlam.
And then the paperwork for his rematch clause gets lost somewhere.
Yeah, because everybody's busy, because Roman will have been back long enough to safely be champion again.
Sure. Oh, that feels dirty.
But you see it happening. You see all the Lego bricks falling into place and building that
But then line. Again, but then again... Because basically both of those guys' claim to it is that they have a rematch for it. If Dean beats them again, even in that theory, they don't have any sort of... Not that that's going to stop them, because that hasn't stopped them ever in the past.
No.
But it would be a longer leap for them.
I do think that... I do think there is a strong enough story, especially if Seth or Roman keeps the other from winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a feud there that is built on enough animosity that you don't need to stick the title there.
Sure.
So
that means you're going to pick Dean?
And I know it's a crazy, crazy reach.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm
you're still weighing it on your mind.
I am. I mean, I'm
still picking Seth.
I absolutely am.
Yeah.
And like, it is down to Seth or Dean. I do think the like we took it off of Roman.
They're going. They're. It's like, all right, Roman. Here's your punishment. You won't get a championship for a month.
Yeah.
You know that kind of thing. And like, ooh, what a big slap on the wrist.
And it's the kind of thing where, you know, it was a substance violation that they spoke about on the show.
Yeah, so it's not like they can be like they. That makes it a little bit harder to sweep under the rug.
Yeah, and
so
I could see that happening. I could see,
sure,
you know, but nowadays when it's like the you know, it's a substance abuse violation is everywhere, and they bring it up on the show.
Sure,
it's like well. And some of it, I feel like, there's got to be a little bit of, like, hurt and betrayal from Roman, where, you know, from the company, where it's like, dude, we gave you everything. We gave you like, back-to-back
sometimes,
WrestleMania.
Sometimes literally gave.
Yes.
And it's something I pointed out on my Snapchat this week. Yeah, I know how bad that sounds. Mm. The other day, I couldn't sleep at all. And, you know, I work late, so I sleep weird hours. But at, like, 7 in the morning... That's like halfway point for me as far as sleep sometimes. And I just couldn't go back to sleep. I woke up at 7 and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I was like, I need something mindlessly dull and boring that might be able to make me go back to sleep. So I watched WrestleMania 32. And it turned into like me just like kind of recapping it on my Snapchat story. I know how bad that sounds. I know how just unmanly that sounds. And I get that. But like I got to the main event, and I'm like,
I can hear the unsubscribe button being clicked
by the males, but the females that are on Snapchat are loving this. They're not. they're really not. I'm not. Even, I couldn't even let that sit for a second. But it got me thinking. I was, you know, like you had a guy who has been given everything. He was given everything at first, and he's, you know, has kind of fought to make it look like he's earned it now. but he's not exactly convincing because there's been a lot of times, specifically at WrestleMania 32, where he just seems like he doesn't even want to be there. You know?
Right.
When you're in the main event for the championship at the biggest WrestleMania they've ever had.
Ever.
Against one of the biggest champions they've ever had. Uh-huh. Ever.
Right.
And you're phoning it in?
Yeah.
Like even if this whole suspension thing didn't even happen, you didn't deserve it.
Let me ask you. You know what I mean? Who are you cheering for this Sunday?
Seth or Dean.
You'll be equally happy with Seth or Dean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I loved Seth the champion. And I would be interested in seeing how this iteration of Seth would handle being champion, because mm-hmm. he doesn't have the J&J security thing anymore. Authority isn't specifically backing him. Like, they're still, you know,
right,
cool with each other, but they don't necessarily have that. But I would very much be okay with Seth or Dean being champion. Yeah.
Because I'm absolutely cheering for Dean.
Yeah.
Because Dean has proven himself to be what the WWE champion could and should be.
Sure.
He is a genuine babyface who gets a pop like a babyface is supposed to get whenever he walks out. Like, and he's done really good things as champion, and I don't, like, there's that part of my soul that doesn't want to consider the fact that, like, this is a placeholder champion.
Sure.
Or that's like, okay, this clearly started as a placeholder championship, but they have to see how their championship is
in how big of a reaction he's getting, and how big of a reaction he continues to get, because they could be like, oh, well, you know, anyone's going to react to that after, you know, for a guy who took, you know, a while to get a championship like that.
Right.
You know, so...
Like, he did it with Money in the Bank. They're cheering for Money in the Bank.
They could have viewed it like, oh, it's just like Zack Ryder winning the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, that whole thing. But the fact that he's, you know, sustained that reaction, it might have, you know, swayed some minds.
Right.
I don't know. I still feel most comfortable saying Seth.
I think I'm far enough behind in the open that I'll go with Dean. That I'm willing to...
Yeah, I lost some ground in the last one. So I'm like, not far behind, but I'm like, in, I want to say third or fourth.
Yeah.
Like 3, maybe 4 points back.
So
I could use a boost, but I don't know.
I think I'm far enough behind this year that I will go.
Ironically, you know what's helped me, like, be in the lead so much? Mm-hmm. Roman being champion. Yeah. It's like, well, Roman's still going to be champ after this. Roman's still going to be champ after this. You know, that whole thing. Like, that's helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I see, and for a while, like, I was, you know, harsh on Roman, but still, like, you know what, guys? He's trying. He's working out there. You know, he'll put the pieces together. They turn him heel. It's gonna be great. Even though they turn him heel, I'd have very little respect for Roman.
Well, they can't turn him heel now because he's the top face on Raw.
Sure.
I mean,
doesn't have to be, but well, there's Finn Balor.
There is Finn Balor,
and it wouldn't take much to make him the top face of Raw.
It wouldn't.
It really wouldn't.
But they're not going
to
try.
No. They're not. But you know, you saw the reaction to him whenever he got drafted.
No, absolutely, absolutely. There's no reason he couldn't be.
Mm.
But I think it's pretty clear they're looking at Seth as top heel, Roman as top face.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dean. It is a long shot. It is throwing a hat over the wall, but we'll go with it for now. I might be safe during SummerSlam, but I'll swing for a fence right now.
All right, I can't really make any sort of like bad pick argument against that. So yeah, good job.
So all right. Anything else for you this week?
No, that's it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet Mondays and all appropriate Sundays, one of which is this Sunday.
Yep.
So follow, interact, all that kind of stuff this Sunday.
And And if you have any questions, comments, your own thoughts about what happened at the draft, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
Yeah, send over draft thoughts because we still have to milk this draft thing.
Well, it'll depend on how the SummerSlam
thing goes. Yeah, we're going to be milking this draft thing for about a month, so if you want to send over talking points.
Oh, yeah, every problem that WWE has from now on, we're going to try to link to the draft.
So
go for it.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Click subscribe there. Get a new episode every week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, leave us a comment on there as well.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris and myself. Follow the podcast and see what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.